Welcome to the Neurology Live Mind Moments podcast. Tune in to hear leaders in neurology sound off on topics that impact your clinical practice. In this episode, we're joined by Dr. Anup Patel of Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio. He provides the latest clinical trial update on Epidiolex and discusses the challenges being faced by clinicians who are struggling to properly educate and inform their patients and caregivers about over-the-counter CBD products.
Hi, I'm Anup Patel. I'm Section Chief of Neurology at Nationwide Children's Hospital, an Associate Professor of Neurology and Pediatrics at The Ohio State University College of Medicine. I think we're in a much better state as it relates to CBD because of the FDA approval of Epidiolex, you know, for Dravet and Lennox-Gastaut syndrome. So I think we're really at the beginning of what I think is going to be a big journey on where else this could potentially have benefit. So tuberous sclerosis complex, the studies are done and the first analyses came out and were very favorable. And what's interesting about those studies are you're seeing some of the same endpoints and improved seizure reduction with the same similar side effect profile. The major difference in that study versus the pivotal trials is they were able to go to 50 milligram per kilogram per day of dosing, and that is similar to what we did in the expanded access program, but different than the pivotal trials in Dravet and LGS. So now we have more evidence to suggest that there is potential efficacy even at higher dose, and more importantly, still a side effect profile that's greater than a 25 milligram per kilogram per day, as they saw, but still tolerable side effect profile and nothing new emerged from it. But now I think the question is, where else? Where do you go from here? And I would like to think that those of us that did these studies that got to the point of FDA approval have made the path easier. You know, now you can do investigator-initiated studies. You can partner with other companies that are doing similar work to see if there are other disease states that this molecule, meaning CBD, could be of benefit. The scary part is that people are extrapolating on a daily basis. So, you know, you still see that there are lots of people making false medical claims on CBD and how safe and effective it is for everything. And that's a big concern for us in the science field, specifically for me who take care of pediatric patients. For us to assume that CBD is just okay to give to anybody and everybody, I think is very naive. You know, in our pivotal trials, we learned that there's side effects. Some of the alarming side effects were increased liver enzymes, and in some cases, medication withdrawal was necessary. You're not going to be able to do that if it's available in your cola or your infused whatever coffee drink. And I think that's where we have to be very careful. And so recently the FDA had a public advisory committee meeting on whether they should allow CBD to be available in everything and anything. And many of us wrote letters representing our respective organizations saying, no, we're against this idea. More studies need to be done. More safety needs to be collected. And I think we have to be careful. But the biggest thing is I don't want to hear anybody say that you can't do this anymore. You can. You know, buck up and do the studies like we did and do them the right scientific way. And let's answer these questions. I want to know the answers to these like anybody else. Can CBD work for autism? I don't know, but I'd love to see that study. Can CBD work for anxiety? I don't know, but I'd like to see that study. Or Alzheimer's, fill in the blank. For epilepsy, what you're going to see is a natural progression. So those of us that take care of children, as often treatment-resistant epilepsy patients that happen to be children, off-label use is rampant. Because of the expanded access study and the data that was basically off-label that preceded the pivotal trials, there's precedence to say this medication may work for different patients with other than Lennox-Gastaut or Dravet syndrome. So I'll be curious to see what happens as the commercial rollout occurs as it relates to that exact issue, and I hope that somebody will collect that data and kind of populate it out so we can continue learning. We need to continue learning from this medication because it's still relatively new. And it's still been around for a long time, but not used in the way that we did, nor studied in that way. So I'm more excited about that. So I'm hopeful. I think this is a dawn of a new age, but more has to be done.
In terms of kind of, like I said, the future of CBD as a treatment, kind of just in that epilepsy toolkit, do you see more use in well-controlled epilepsies that respond to you know, are available, you know, pharmaceutical treatment? Do you see kind of a space for that in the future?
That's a great question. So currently I say the answer is no. You know, when you look at CBD, I would like to put it in a class of medications similar to other medications I go to after you fail conventional or medications that have a potential less side effect profile. So one of the things you're starting to see, though, is demand. So the public's perception of this medication and their myths are being brought forward to where I'm asked, even on a clinical basis now, I want my patient on this Epidiolex. You did these studies, but your child's been seizure-free. Yeah, I want the natural product. So I think we as medical providers have to provide better and more accurate education and level set the field. When I say level set, I think what I mean is this medication is similar to some others that do affect livers. So I usually now make the discussion like, well, CBD is a liver med. And what I mean by liver med is a medication that I would want to check liver enzymes on a regular basis, and that if got elevated could be harmful for your child, and therefore I may want to withdraw the medication. And it's very similar to valproic acid or phoblamate in that sense. We can talk all day long about efficacy, but they're about the same, but still, it's one of those. So I really like others to follow that lead and say, let's stick to our current less expensive treatment options that potentially, again, have less side effect profile, and save these other ones when we need them for those cases when you're not having seizure control. Of course, you're going to see that with, you are going to see monotherapy first line with providers just caving into the, you know, demands of their patients and population. But I think if we educate our providers, and I feel I have a role in that capacity, that perhaps we'll be able to not do what should be done.
What's your kind of concern level with patients who you see who are using over-the-counter CBD products in addition to their prescribed epilepsy therapies?
You know,
what do you do in that case?
Yeah, that's the biggest challenge that we have now, especially as all these states decided to get on their own and legalize medical marijuana without any knowledge of how to do it or what to do. The biggest concerns we've seen is that the families and patients are not understanding that what they're getting from even in a dispensary or online or whatever is the same as the stuff that we studied. So everyone considers, you know, the product you get from the dispensary the same thing that we studied. And they're absolutely apples to oranges. You know, what we studied was a plant-based purified version of CBD. It had at least 98% cannabidiol and very little anything else. You can't get that anywhere else. People don't understand that, and so we have to, again, educate, but that's exhaustive. I will tell you, it happens on a daily basis, and even me, who's been in this space for over 5 years, I'm tired of it. I'm wishing the public would get it, but more importantly, I'm wishing that those that we have in leadership positions, like in legislatures, who are benefiting financially from this, would actually speak the truth and become knowledgeable and correctly. We had a case that's really interesting where a child was being given a vernacular CBD product from her mom, who meant well and cares for her and loves her child, as assuming it was purified CBD. That child ended up overdosed in our ICU on a ventilator. And when we analyzed the content of the bottle, which said, this is CBD, it actually had a lot of THC and very little CBD. And you're seeing the story repeat itself, maybe not necessarily to the effect of that child being admitted to the intensive care unit, but you're seeing this in all these independent studies that test these vernacular products. The reality of these vernacular products is they're not meeting the claims that they're stating. You know, I always highlight this, the California studies. In California, 1 in 5 products met the grade. And the reason why 4 of the 5 failed were for things like mold, bacteria, pesticides, chemicals of unknown origin. Those aren't things I think we'd want to give our child. And if we educated the public, like, do you realize you're doing this? That's fine, but please know what you're doing. Then the other major reason is obviously not having as much CBD as the label contained. That's a fear of mine, because then parents are going to think they're, or believe they're getting something that they're truly not. We want to avoid that in medicine. I know when I prescribe somebody Epidiolex that they're getting as close to purified CBD as possible. Therefore, I can't even fathom recommending anything else for the appropriate patient for that kind of therapy.
Do you have kind of a call to action, really, kind of to your fellow epileptologists? Like you said, because you can only do so much in your space, right? I mean, we rely on these other bigger players to do their jobs, right? But for what you can control, what do you think that the epilepsy community needs to do to really stress education and try and weed out some of that risk that's really being introduced now?
Yeah, I think we as a collective group of epilepsy providers need to, first of all, have the knowledge and education and speak the same language and same facts. We've got to be united in our ability to deliver facts. That's what we are as a scientific community. I do want the epilepsy community, organizations like the ILAE, American Epilepsy Society, Epilepsy Foundation, I could go on and on, be the leaders in this education effort. The more we can reach, the better they're going to be. And we are now at a crossroads. The less we're able to educate our patient base properly, the more at harm they are. And that is true in a lot of cases, but not to sound too dramatic, it's really true as far as this goes. We need to be clear on what is going on out there, but also have the right facts to be able to present to them when they come to us. The problem we have right now is that it's hard. The field moves fast. It's hard to get educated and everybody on the right information. But any way we can disseminate that information, whether it's via Neurology Live, whether it's another avenue or venue, it's a must. So that's my call to action.
Thanks for listening to the Neurology Live Mind Moments podcast. For more neurology news and expert-driven content, visit neurologylive.com.